Here's another one of those when I was a boy stories. My kids always rolled their eyes when I started a sentence like that because they could count on the example showing how much harder life was then and how spoiled they were, both of which, by the way, were true. Actually, I wasn't a boy, just a lot younger when I encountered Star Trek. I was a graduate student at the University of Nebraska in 1966. I heard about a new TV series, Star Trek, an unusual title and format because TV had never done science fiction. So I watched it, was instantly hooked, and had to get home by 8 p.m. on Thursday, I think that was the time, to catch it. I was disappointed when the series was canceled after limping along for 3 years, but I was thrilled when it came back in reruns. And the reruns created a whole new audience of the young and geeky. The result was 4 long-running spin-off series and a whole flock of movies, all with an extraordinarily dedicated hardcore fandom. So here we are with the latest installment called just Star Trek. It's a prequel based on the adventures of the characters from the original series when they were in their salad days. We meet James Kirk as a rebellious youth, that's the model heroes these days, in Iowa. He's the son of a starship officer who sacrificed his life when he was captain of a starship for 12 minutes after the sitting captain was killed. Kirk saved the lives of the crew, his wife, and its soon-to-be-born son when he rammed an invading Romulan ship from the future. After getting into a barroom brawl with 4 men bound for the Federation Academy, young James Kirk is saved by Captain Christopher Pike. Experienced Trekkies will remember him in one of the better 2-part episodes of the original series. Pike uses James' father's heroism for a guilt trip to get the young man to enlist in Starfleet and attend the Academy, where he immediately gets himself into a jam that nearly gets him booted out. Kirk more or less stows away on the Enterprise, commanded by Pike, when it takes off on a mission with only Starfleet Academy cadets running it because it's the only ship available. The same ship from the future that Kirk's father had encountered and defeated has returned and is in Vulcan space, so the Enterprise is off to the rescue with the younger version of Spock, James Kirk, Uhuru, Dr. McCoy, Sulu, and Chekhov, with Scotty to appear later in, gasp, Leonard Nimoy. Don't ask. Even if I wanted to, I probably couldn't give you a complete plot summary of this incarnation of Star Trek, because once I was out of the theater, I couldn't piece it together. I think that's because it is very un-Vulcanly illogical. There's a time travel plot, and with the exception of the Time Machine and the 3 Back to the Future movies, I don't recall seeing one of those that made a lot of sense. But there's an evil Vulcan to be foiled, Earth to be saved yet again, or rather for the first time of many times to come by the Enterprise, and it's all good nonsensical fun. Zachary Quinto plays the young Spock, and I can see him setting off the same seismic vibrations among female tweens and post-tweens as Robert Pattinson, who plays the vampire Edward Cullen in Twilight. And Quinto has ears instead of fangs. Moreover, he's not your grandfather's Spock. He has 2 or 3 smooching scenes with Uhuru, and Vulcans are supposed to only get the urge every 7 years. But then Spock is only half-human. Anyway, there's a good bit of other revisionism here, and Star Trek history and timeline are pretty much fractured. But I think Trekkies of all ages will like this incarnation of the franchise. After all, the Star Trek TV series and films are a cultural phenomenon. Most science fiction films paint a gloomy dystopian future. The Star Trek franchise, as envisioned by creator Gene Roddenberry, gives us a rosy future for Earth, though fraught with peril from without. The planet is at peace and poverty is eliminated. This view certainly had its appeal in the 60s when idealism was a watchword, and that appeal has endured. There are Star Trek clubs in every major city and some not so major. I remember attending a meeting of the Northwest Missouri State Star Trek group several years ago with the members decked out in homemade Federation uniforms talking the series technobabble. Clearly, there's still that desire to boldly go where no one has gone before, at least in imagination, because the film made $100 million in its opening week. There's already a sequel to this prequel in the works. And as I say, long live and prosper, Star Trek. You have been and always will be, to quote some famous lines from Mr. Spock, my favorite science fiction film series. The plot of this one doesn't hold up well, but who cares? I'll give it 4.5 bags of popcorn out of 5 and might even consider a small soft drink.